Oh, band's back together. Everybody's feeling good. You better? You're going to turn your mic on.
Well, I mean, who's ever better? Doesn't Brady say we all deal with something this time of year, right? But I know that I got to bring home the bacon, so that's why I'm here today, baby. Kill that pig. I'm here to make the money, the moolah, the cashola. You know what I mean?
Well, you didn't get paid for yesterday?
Of course, I mean, that's like scheduled day off. You know, last day of the fall book. Thanks for being with us, everybody. We appreciate it. Thanks for all your patronage. I don't want to beat a dead horse.
That would be the opposite of a scheduled day off. If you were off today, it would have been a scheduled day off.
Yeah.
Yesterday, not a scheduled day off. There you go.
But you knew today was going to be a scheduled day off for Fred because Richard's out yesterday, so Fred's out today. It's like eye for eye there. That's the way that one goes. And that's, my man Freddie. Hope he feels better.
We're going to get to Nathan Eovaldi and that breaking news that he is going to be coming back to the Red Sox pending
a physical.
Is that
breaking news?
I have no idea why he wouldn't pass the physical. He was just, here with the team a month ago and was fine. I'm sure he's going to pass the physical. So he's coming back on what appears to be 4 years and somewhere in the vicinity of $17 million a year. We'll get to that. We will. We have thoughts on that. Mm. We will do that. But that is the latest. That coming from the Athletic minutes ago, that it's pretty much a done deal. Okay, Tom Brady is going to Miami this weekend. Spent some time yesterday talking with Bert Breer about the issues that this team has when they go to Miami. Because they do have issues when they go to Miami.
Yeah.
Tom Brady has a losing record in Miami.
Oof.
He is 7-9 in his career at Miami.
That's amazing. Not amazing that he loses in Miami, but when you look at the scope and the totality of Brady's career and how successful he's been, not only at home, but in other road games.
I feel like you've forgotten, played some bad Zoe, how bad things have been in Miami for this team.
I have, and
And I get it. I would want to forget it, too.
Trust me. I was in Miami my last year, and it was Marino's last year. And the sick thing of this whole thing, when you look at it from the perspective of, is it about coaching or quarterback play, or is the team just always that much worse in Miami, or is Miami good? And is Jason Taylor, was he a Brady killer all those years? No. Miami's still looking for their quarterback, post-Marino. Right. Still looking for the guy. Still looking, I think, for a head coach. I don't think Gase is the answer.
So this is Tom Brady's 18th year as a starting quarterback in the NFL, right?
I was done. He started starting. Yep.
Okay. How many times, Hardy, without looking, do you think Tom Brady has lost a game at Gillette Stadium in his career? Home record, regular season.
Well, I mean, we just talked about it last week. He's only lost four in December.
Number of losses.
No, we're not going to count the playoffs here.
Okay.
Right? This is a regular season number that we looked up, Jim. It's just regular season.
Number of regular season Gillette Stadium losses.
I'll give you a clue. Last week we said there was four in the month of December, and that's it.
I'm going to say a total of like 14.
You're close. He has a total of 19 losses in his career at Gillette Stadium at home in the regular season.
It's like one a year.
He has nine
season
in Miami.
Holders.
Yeah. It's got to be the only. It's got to be the only.
He only plays there once a year. He plays at Gillette Stadium eight times a year. He's got nine losses at Miami. He's only got 19 at home ever.
So it's got to be the only field. Has it been the same field for the entirety of his career? They moved it. They move in Miami?
No, it's the same field.
No, same stadium.
They changed
it. It was Joe Robbie, then it was Pro Player.
Right, they've changed
the
name.
Then it was Sun Life, and they've done remodeling to the venue, but
it's the
same place.
So it's
got to
be the only venue where he has a losing record.
That might be true. I will
double
check. It's
got to be. Oh, God, yeah.
That might be true.
Sure it is.
He might have gone somewhere once or twice.
And the weird thing.
It might be like a random NFC that he's lost a couple times.
But with a real number of games played there, with a good sample?
Good sample.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. You know what's weird is it's a total flip of the script in Buffalo. Like, he's never what's the record in Buffalo? Like 32-1 or whatever the hell it is? It's mind-blowing. Mind-blowing, the Miami situation. Because I think it's a little bit of everything. I'm having a tough week this week because I'm like, okay, what's the weather down here? Do I really have a light suit? What do you pack? What do you pack when you go down here? Am I going to sweat during a game? Am I going to sweat during pregame when that sun beats down on you? It's a different sun. I told you that. You
it's the same
plane.
Sun. I mean, it's the same sun that shines here every day.
No, not really. It feels hotter.
Might
on your
be
skin.
A different kind of heat, but
nope,
it's the same
different type of heat.
I can promise you.
The whole station,
closer to the equator.
It's the same sun in
closer
the sky
to the equator.
That you see here.
Nope, wrong. Same. It smells like cocoa butter. The whole every time you're there,
the sun
you get
does.
Off the plane. You're like, oh, it smells so good. Not that you could smell this weekend, but you know what I mean. It's just like it's a different lifestyle down here, man. It's like boom, 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 boom. Everything's a distraction. The stadium's a distraction. It's like you're playing a game in a nightclub in the middle of the day. It's all different. Palm trees, they have people on a red carpet, and they got dueling DJs in separate corners of the stadium. It's a weird vibe down there, and I think people get caught up in it. And I think the quarterback might, too. I mean, you're all part of it. You know, they look to him as far as a leadership role. If he's not ready to go, or if he's having
doing
a screwy
what?
Day,
going out on Saturday night?
No, nobody goes out. You can't go out.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. So with I know we're trying to come up with reasons, but that sounds like an excuse.
Well, here's more of just the facts, the statistics of the matter. Here are the Dolphins quarterbacks that have beaten Tom Brady in Miami. And I'll name them more than once if they did it more than once. Jay Fiedler, A.J. Feely, Joey Harrington.
Huh? Well, that one you understand.
Chad Henne.
Didn't he set the record in Detroit for like Ryan, old forever?
Ryan Tannehill has done it three times, and Jay Cutler did it last year.
Ryan Tannehill, that puke has beaten you three times. Ryan, let that one sink.
So here's a real question today.
Who wears a mouthpiece?
What's worse, the list of Dolphins quarterbacks that have beaten Tom Brady or the list of Dolphins head coaches that have beaten Tom Brady? And here's that list.
Oh, God, it gets worse. Go ahead.
Dave Wannstedt did it three times, 01, 02, 04. Nick Saban, Tony Sperano, Joe Philbin did it twice.
Wet fish.
Joe Philbin beat Brady twice in Miami. Dan Campbell, yep. Rambo, whatever his name was, beat Brady.
I remember him at the end of that game with about 6 minutes left, no headset on, and he's just waving a white towel that he usually draped over his head because he was bald.
Adam Gase.
Hot Sunday.
The sleeping giant is awake. He can't take a nap. There are no naps.
No naps.
We got to keep him up and alive.
Where is he now, by the way?
We keep trying up and living.
I saw him on the sideline with the Saints, back on Peyton's staff with the Saints.
Yeah, he's probably assistant strength coach down there. Supervises a squat.
Assistant head coach and tight ends, New Orleans Saints. There you go. Good call, Jim.
Tight ends.
Good recollection. I think the list of quarterbacks that have beaten him is worse than the coaches. Fiedler, Feely, Harrington, Henne, Tannehill. That list sucks.
I don't know. Dan Campbell's the number one draft pick of overall on that suck list, though.
I'm with you. It's the coaching's worse.
No, Joey Harrington.
Sorry. It might be overall worse. Campbell's worse than Joey Harrington.
Joey Harrington was so bad.
Well, Joey Harrington was at least number one overall, like top 10 pick.
I mean, if you're going, if this was a tool bag draft, you'd put Campbell at the top.
Well, now that we know that, but I mean, Philbin and Campbell offset it all. Philbin beat you twice, and that stupid guy Cambo beat you.
Yes, he did.
That guy. Keep sleep giant.
Yeah, but the Campbell game was the Steven Jackson game. That's the same game, right? Was that 2015, I believe? Yeah. That was before they hired Gase, right?
Right. Yeah. He was a coach in waiting.
Right. Right. Dan Campbell was the coach that game, the Steven Jackson game. So that's part of it.
So did Campbell really beat them?
I think you beat
or do they beat themselves?
Game.
I don't know. It's tough to say, but it just means he's got to win.
Giant is up.
And those are the facts, which is why you've got to take this game seriously. They have issues there. They do. They've got problems when they go to Miami. Brady loses more than he wins there. The Patriots, with Bill Belichick, have lost more than they've won at Miami. It doesn't matter.
8-10 overall.
Doesn't matter who the coach is.
Ooh.
Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Does not matter. Does not matter if Adam Gase is on his way out, which he might be. May not be. Who knows?
It's like a Bermuda Triangle thing, because that's like close down there, too, if you go a little east of there. You know, so maybe that's part of it.
That's probably it.
The Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, the triangle. It's from a point in Miami, somewhere in Miami.
Is it the heat? Does Brady have an issue with heat? Does the team have a tough time adapting to
does
that?
Does he have a hot yoga studio in his house?
I have no idea.
I think he does.
They
keep it at 102.
But he's not playing quarterback when he's doing his hot yoga, is he?
Nope,
probably not. So it's an issue. They've tried to go down there early before, right? So, and then what happens?
We usually end up on the beach. Somebody's smoking cigars out there and maybe heading down to get a little pressed ham sandwich down the nice little Havana store. I love it. Pressed ham.
You know what Bert Breer told us yesterday that Bart Scott has told him about Miami?
What'd he tell you?
He said South Beach is undefeated. South Beach is undefeated when it comes to opposing teams going to Miami.
Yeah.
Because he said players would find ways to sneak out and go do things in Miami when they're down there for games.
Not on our team. So you tell me what's more the problem. I mean, we're such under strict security.
You mean now or back when you were
playing? Even back when we were playing, we're doing about. We've tried everything, too. Either stay at the airport or you stay at an office park. You don't want to see the beach. You don't want to be near a palm tree. You're going to stay next to a rental car store. All that stuff. They've tried everything. Nothing works. I think we're going back to basics. Head to the beach this time.
Just go to the beach.
You're down.
Get it out of the way.
I'll just stay at the beach.
Make it a team field trip.
It is what it is.
617-779-0985.
Bring yourself for five.
What?
98.5.
Well, no, you were talking and
I
stopped
talking. Yeah, but you
said 98.5. Oh, I misspoke. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm back.
Yeah, this he obviously is back.
You got a haircut, pal.
Yeah, this energy, how long does this last?
Because
he is,
45 minutes
off the walls of his own skull. Wait,
12 or 13 more minutes, I hope.
That's it.
617-779-0985. Are you fearing the Miami road trip for the Patriots this weekend?
They're going to come out with stupid uniforms. Are going to come out.
I'm afraid of this trip.
All aqua.
I think you can't forget the history. You cannot forget the history of the Patriots going to this place. They've got issues there. They've got problems there. They do.
Oh, Patriots are going to wear white.
By the way, Brady's got a losing record in Denver too. Does he not?
Yep.
Yeah, that's another one.
Tom just looked up Carolina too.
Carolina, Denver. So he's got some losing records at other places.
He sucks.
Yeah, he's not very good.
He stinks, huh? Loses in Miami.
So bad.
Then loses more than he wins in Miami, Denver, and Carolina.
We need a quarterback that can play well on the road.
Yes.
It's time to get that guy in here.
So what are you suggesting? This weekend, start Brian Hoyer at Miami?
Yeah.
Denver. We should have known that one right off the bat.
I hate the single-digit quarterback. I just throw one in front of it or something. Or six.
Uniforms, single-digit quarterback. Zoe's back.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Slot to the near side, left for Brady on second and 10. He fumbles the snap, loses the ball. It's down to the end zone. Touchdown, Miami.
Brady extends the hands, takes the step. Tom looking right, firing right. The ball's going to be intercepted in the end zone. Thomas picked it off. The newest of Dolphins with a game-sealing interception with 2 seconds to go.
Brady stands, fires, intercepted at the 10-yard line. Picked off by Sam Madison.
Brady with a play pick under a ruck from Cameron Wake, and the ball comes loose as Brady goes down. Miami swarming over the corner.
Rolling, looking, and fires, but the ball is knocked out of his hands. This has been a horrendous day for the Patriots, who came into Miami hoping to clinch the AFC East.
Stork will snap it back. Brady has it. Dolphins come, and Brady has no chance. Down he goes. The Dolphins with, in essence, a jailbreak.
Stands in the pocket, then fires the football up the field. Intercepted by Channing Crowder, and that's it. I don't believe this one. I really don't believe this one. The Patriots put up almost 500 yards offense. And frittered away 10 points.
Miami not so friendly to Tom Brady and the Patriots. I hate when they go down there to play games. For a reason. It doesn't even matter that they're the better team, though. Because there are plenty of years where they've lost there.
Yep.
They were obviously the better team.
It's our longest trip of the year. Figure that.
You don't realize it, do you?
You don't realize it, yeah. Longest flight of the year. It's like the longest trip. Supposedly it's the same next year. There's no West Coast. I thought there was West Coast.
You don't seem worried about this game at all. You haven't seemed worried about
I'm not because of the defense.
Take care of business.
It's not we looked some stuff already this week, coach, but it's not the same front. You know, they don't have the wrecking balls in the middle like Ndamukong Suh. They got a Kiko Alonso. You know, like I said, he's a dirty player. Still got Cameron Wake on the outside. Howard pops up with an injury. Potentially, probably not going to go. I think Armando Salguera had that last night. But other than that, you should be all right. Should be all right against this team. Good back. Kenyon Drake's good back. But again, it's Ryan freaking Tannehill. But I say that.
Who's beating the Patriots
three times?
So if this is a loss, this is a bad loss. You're going to come in Monday pissed. It's a bad loss if they lose.
You think I was mad last week at the end of that second quarter?
Yeah.
Wow. I would consider anything. They go 20 to 19 and squeak it out. That's business trip. Get out of there. Get back home. The way that they've given him trouble.
Oh, I don't care if they win 13-10.
I feel about this one the way a lot of people wanted to feel about the Jets win, which was all good business trip, take care of business. Bull crap. The Jets blow. This trip, you win by a point. I will be sitting here on Monday. I will sit there postgame on Sunday.
We'll be talking
saying,
Super Bowl.
Woo! Way to get out of there with a win. Way to escape Miami with that win.
No, you
that
can't
is
talk
a good
Super
business
Bowl
trip.
If you think it's a bad team and it's not a good win for you then.
What are you talking about?
You said we'll be talking Super Bowl if they come out of there with a 1-point win.
Yeah.
Over Miami.
But you just said that you're going into Pittsburgh.
You're going into Pittsburgh at 10-3. It's not really, but it's one thing I've come to learn about. It's just find a way to get through your division. It's the way they look at it down there. You're going to win 10 straight divisions. The only other team to do that in professional sports like the Atlanta Braves.
Who's the second best team in the division?
I'd go Buffalo.
I wouldn't.
Who?
I'd go Miami.
Ugh. It's not the same team. It's not the same team they've had over the last 4 years. They're trying to it's a restocking of culture down there.
I don't disagree with that.
All right. Yeah.
I don't disagree with you. But if I had to pick the second best team in the division, I'd pick Miami.
I mean,
which
tells you the state
of
affairs in this division.
It's the way you've approached it. I mean, the Steven Jackson game was different. You didn't have all your you've got your full allotment.
You're
going in with loaded guns.
They've lost nine times. You can have your pick of any of the nine games.
I know.
You want to focus on Steven Jackson. How about last year? What was last year's issue?
Yeah, play like dog crap.
For reasons unexplained.
Last year's Miami game was the reason Brandon Cooks was traded, by the way.
Excuse me?
Last year's Miami game in Miami is one of the reasons Brandon Cooks was traded.
Oh, we had that. Yeah,
he couldn't fight through coverage. Xavier Howard had two interceptions.
That's right. You didn't like that jet sweep call?
But I want to know, though, if you should be talking Super Bowl now, then.
Jay Cutler lit
if you
your
think
ass
they're going to go to
year.
Miami and roll, and if on Monday, if they win, you're talking Super Bowl, why you should be talking Super Bowl now, then. Right?
I don't like games you're playing with me right now. Because I'm not ready to talk Super Bowl right now.
Tactics.
I didn't come in today ready to talk Super Bowl. I came in today.
Brought up the Super Bowl. No one here brought up Super Bowl.
I'm just telling you, they win Sunday. We're going to come
I'm
in here Monday starting.
Like,
it's setting up for you. Because something else bad's going to happen in the league to help you. Because everything's lining up again. That guy coming in at 11 o'clock.
That makes sense.
Get ready
for
another tomato can 2 hour thing with this guy coming in. He better have something ready to go today other than his tomato can theory. You know what I mean? Because the fish year is different. Because it's starting to be tomato can 2018 all over again. Watch, I'll go down there to win by 20. Then all hell's
going to break. On the other side of the glass, giving me the thumbs up.
There we go. He's starting to believe it's super. He booked his flight to Minnesota last year. Remember that? Ahead of anybody.
Dan,
he's already got his Atlanta trip booked.
He has his Atlanta trip booked. Yep, another thumbs up. That's a yes.
Unbelievable.
He does. You think
believable.
We're going to have Dan with us starting at 11 a.m. Yep. I'm guessing he's going to tell us that this is another tomato can game and that it doesn't matter. They're just going to go down there and roll.
Yep.
Which has not been the case.
I'm with you on that. When the schedule comes out, and even back when I was playing, there's two things you always looked at. Number one was, where's the bye? When do you play in Miami?
When that schedule came out, I looked at this current three-game stretch, Minnesota, Miami, Pittsburgh, as the most difficult three-game stretch on their schedule.
It was last year's version of Mexico and Denver and everything leading up to Pittsburgh. And it's funny. I mean, December's the same as it was last year as far as who you play and where you play. But, yeah, it's starting to get that feel again.
I still feel that way. My mind has not been changed on this.
I'm with you, too.
I still think Miami's a hard place for them.
It's going to be difficult. And that's why I say just scratch and claw and get out of there with a one-point win.
We also looked up, we asked about, is the Heat Tom Brady's kryptonite a little bit? Does he play well in the heat? With Tom Brady at quarterback, the Patriots are 4-5. We used 85 degrees as the line.
I think that's a good one. That's a hot day.
They're 4-5 when it's 85 or above.
Hmm.
With Tom Brady at quarterback.
Is that away? I mean, like the Houston game was like 110 last year.
There is one game that they have played over 85 degrees at home.
And last year, Houston.
At home.
They ran out of water.
At home.
Yeah.
The official, remember, official game time temperature.
Right.
They played one game, and that was Pittsburgh in 2002.
Wrong.
I'm just going by what the league lists on the box score.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. They've got a list.
Last year, the stadium ran out of water.
They've got a list.
That was the stadium opener, right?
I got soaked through three dress shirts. I bought two extra dress shirts that day.
Pittsburgh 2002, though. That wasn't the opening of Gillette Stadium.
It was. It was a night game, too.
Monday night, right?
Yeah, it's September 9th. It says September 9th, 2002. The official game time temperature was listed as 86 degrees. So which game are you talking about?
The Houston home game last year.
I'll find out what the official...
Remember Brandon Cooks tiptoed that catch, the game winner?
Oh, yeah, it was hot that day.
Yeah.
Let me take a look.
My kid's forehead got smoked. I remember that. He couldn't touch his forehead.
We're going based on the Pro Football Reference, what they have listed. I can get a look at that for you.
Field temperature, I think, was 105 to 110.
Well, that's different, though, the official air temperature would be listed at. Hold on.
It felt like Jacksonville this year. I remember that.
Listed as 84 degrees that day. 84 degrees with winds at 4 miles per hour.
Windy day.
The official game time temperature. Patriots-Texans last year.
Oh, it's a breeze. Nice breeze coming through.
Patriots won that one. Now, when you're talking about the sun beating down on the turf and sort of holding the heat and radiating onto the
play. That's where Brady
plays.
That's
a little different.
Yeah.
That's a little different. But I can only look it up based on what the league puts in the box score.
Thank you, league.
Or whoever it is that decides those things. I don't even know who it is that decides.
Hey, what are those weirdos up here?
Like, is there official weather guy?
Command control.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping.
The Red Sox have a Christmas gift for their fans. It's Nathan Eovaldi. According to Ken Rosenthal, 44 minutes ago, this tweet, free agent right-handed pitcher Nathan Eovaldi, in agreement with the Red Sox, pending physical, sources tell The Athletic. Coming back to the Red Sox on what is reportedly a four-year deal. In the range of $17 million per year. In that range. What?
No, it's funny because it's like, it's the only guy on the team that, and I've asked this like five times, when, who's that guy sitting at the table? You know, like, and during the playoffs and the World Series and, you know, divisional series, you see everybody up there at the podium and who the hell is that guy? Oh, that's Nathan Eovaldi. Oh, that's Nathan Eovaldi. I still don't know what he looks like or what he sounds like. It's like the only guy on the team. And he's so important to what they did and how they overcame what they did at the end. But, yeah, it's deserved. It's a nice contract. Fans love this because you're rewarding a guy that pitched well and saved your ass. Guy was good.
I think the argument would be that he is getting this contract for a short, you know, small body of work.
Yeah.
That would be the opposite of having earned it. Having earned it would be having, you know, full seasons of success, multiple
seasons. A little
seasons,
different when you win the whole damn thing.
Consistent seasons of success. I would say that that's a better argument for earned it.
I agree.
I don't know that he earned it, but I think it's what his market was going to be, and I love that they brought him back.
But a fan, I think like a normal fan's reaction sitting there like, oh yeah, that guy's a winner.
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think Rick Porcello is going to get traded.
I agree.
And I've said this for, you know, a month now since the World Series ended. I think the way to do it is trade Porcello and keep Eovaldi. 1 year left on Porcello's deal at $21.2 million. That's what he's due for 2019. If you were to trade him and take on, let's say, $4 million of the salary, you would, in essence, be trading Rick Porcello for Nathan Eovaldi straight up for 2019. Would you do that deal?
Yeah.
I would, too. Straight up, money not a factor. If that's how you do it. If you even take on the $4 million and give another team a discount 1 year at 17 for Rick Porcello, I think there would be takers for Rick Porcello on a one-year deal at $17 million. Everybody needs starting pitching. Everybody. And that's not a crazy number, but it's certainly manageable for every major league team at 1 year and 17. That would leave you with basically a three-year $17 million deal, which means what? You're paying him three at 51. And it's 4 years and it feels like a lot. And could he blow out his arm again? Yes, he most certainly could. But I think that this deal is more about keeping him here for next year more than anything else. Because next year is sort of the last great run of this team before you have to deal with free agency for Chris Sale, before you start to deal with young players whose contracts are up. When you've got to start to think about, are you going to pay Xander Bogaerts or not? They can have one more year of sort of keeping it all together, maybe minus Rick Porcello and inserting Nathan Eovaldi for a full season.
Martinez can opt out too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is. It's one more year. This is the last year that you know you can keep it intact. And with the money and the revenue the Red Sox have, which comes out of your pocket as a fan, don't you think they're doing right by the fans? They're doing right by saying we're going to keep it together and try and do it again next year? Yeah. Isn't that the right move?
Yeah.
They got Pierce back. They've got Eovaldi back. They're going to let their closer walk in Craig Kimbrell. They're going to probably have to add to their bullpen, even if it's not going out and getting a closer per se. But for the most part, they can keep the group intact.
Yeah. And plus, any decisions you make post-winning it, it's kind of like it's not as – you're not going to get criticized as much. You get a little more leeway. Playing with house money. So what if you reward some of the guys that helped win? That's the way fans like that. This is such the anti-Sandoval type signing, the anti, you know, Hanley Ramirez type signing, and it's a signing in good faith.
Okay, so that's all.
Not that he's earned it. Signing in good faith.
He hasn't earned it. On the surface, I like that they're bringing him back. Now, the payment, is it an overpayment? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Absolutely, it's an overpayment.
It's not a one or two.
Here's the thing that concerns me most. This tweet from Mark Feinsand in New York. He tweeted this last night. He writes for MLB.com now. An executive from a club believed to be in on Nathan Eovaldi said he has heard Boston is closing in on a deal, adding that in his eyes, quote, the market is really just the Red Sox at this point.
Oh, boy.
So I think that this quote needs some context, but here's worst case scenario. This is what that quote means. Worst case scenario. Yeah, some teams showed some interest, ours included, but it never got serious with any of us. It never got to the point where there were real offers being put out there, and the Red Sox just came in with a ridiculous offer, and therefore we all just turned around and walked away. So the Red Sox aren't bidding against anybody. They just came in and offered $17 million a year, and we're like, forget it. We're not going that high.
Yeah, you did what the Yankees do.
Is that smart? Was anyone else going to pay Nathan Eovaldi $17 million a year? That's my question. Was any other team out there going to pay him this kind of money?
Maybe.
Based on that comment, it doesn't seem like they were.
Doesn't seem like it. It's like the old Veritech one. Remember when Veritech was up and you gave him $11 million
a year? Boris created a fictitious market. Maybe and it worked.
Yeah.
But who else was going to pay him this money? It feels to me like they overpaid him when they didn't have to. They spent more money than they needed to. What was the next best offer? And you didn't have a situation like with David Price where the guy didn't really want to come here, wanted to go to St. Louis, and you better blow away the next offer to get it done.
I remember the week after the World Series, we sat here and which teams
out there were going to pay him 17? I have a hard time believing there were other teams willing to pay that kind of money for him over the course of 4 years.
I remember sitting here a week after the World Series and said, idealistically, 4 for $60 is a good deal for him. Everybody's agreed on that. 4 for $60, perfect for a ball.
Okay, that means that you overpaid by $8 million.
In baseball, and considering spreading that out over 4 years, no big deal.
I'm not worried about them going broke. I'm worried about when you're talking about, you know, 3 years down the road where they don't have everything that they've got now, and they don't have sort of the cost control of the younger players, and they start talking about having to let guys walk because, you know what, we're not going over the luxury tax in year X, Y, or Z.
Well, maybe that's the year where you really start to look at Dombrowski and say, boy, was it worth giving up everything and, you know, not restocking our farm system or not having anything in the minors to win that 1 year in 2018? Probably a lot of people say, yeah.
Right. Or worst case scenario, you've got a guy who blows out his arm again 3 years down the road. He's missing full seasons.
Right.
And you're paying him that kind of money and it's on your books and it counts.
It's going to all come back on Dombrowski.
I think that we should be prepared for a downturn in the quality of the team after next year. We should all be prepared for that. That could be happening.
It makes sense. I mean, Price is another year older. He should give you another decent year next year. Seems like he got over that hump, but he ain't getting any younger.
This is. I think it's a good deal. I don't care if they spent a little bit extra for him.
Right. If that's the guy you wanted,
because
you know, works here.
102 in the playoffs.
He wants to be here.
Valuable.
And he locates. It's not Joe Kelly 102.
Yeah, but he can give you 120, 150 innings in the regular season, and then you have the option of using him any way you want in the postseason, if you get there.
You're arguing whether or not he should be back, and I already agree with you. He absolutely should. I think he's valuable in a lot of different ways. But did they overpay for him? The market dictates what
he's worth.
I don't
know. We thought they overpaid for Rick Porcello, but his salary's pretty good right now. A couple years later, $22 million for that guy is not that bad.
He's won a Cy Young for you. He had a Cy Young award-winning year.
And he had one of the worst years ever after that.
But there's a lot more risk in this, and this is based on a lot less in terms of the body of work. But this could very much be a very risky deal. And it's not even if he's healthy, you know, did you overpay? The overpayment is really based on what's
system.
The market.
So you got to eliminate
your farm system. Well, that's why they have to overpay.
Yeah, no, that's why they have to. But they don't have to overpay if no one else is bidding $17 million. It doesn't have to do with your farm system or what you have on your roster. If the other teams in the mix were looking at 12 or 13 and you bid 17, then you're stupid. That's sort of my point. That's why I want to know what the other teams did.
Right. Unless you don't want, even if agents or anybody else is putting that stuff out there, it's like, well, the market seems to be just the Red Sox. You know, that tweet yesterday. And if that's put out there as a means to say, hey, no one else is in on this yet, guys, Everybody come calling. If they know that's the number that's just going to scare everyone else away and they're not going to have to get into any kind of a back and forth, then you just do it and be done with it. And again, maybe not the smartest negotiating, but if they decide this is the guy we want, we're going to sign him, then you make that offer at that number, and you even allow it to get out there knowing that no one's going to get into it. Look, 17 is a lot for Eovaldi. I can't imagine anyone paying any more for that. So put that number out there, and say, and even if it's, well, the market's only the Red Sox right now, anyone else? Nope, not at that number.
Right, if another team was bidding 16, then I'd say, okay, they wanted to top the bid and win the thing and get it done with.
We're not going to get
into
this back and forth.
But if we're talking the difference between 13, 14, and 17,
but then
you've got a case saying, what are you doing? Why'd you overpay him so much?
Because then you get into the back and forth, and you get into the prospect of not having the guy. Maybe they.
What's the worst case scenario? You end up back at 17. If you're willing to go to 17, you've got a lot of wiggle room there to keep outbidding the other team.
They just don't want to mess around with this one for whatever reason. Eovaldi is a priority.
16.875. The number is out. 16.875 per season. For Nathan Eovaldi.
That's plenty.
Which it certainly is, which comes out to $67.5 million over the 4 years. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The fantasy freak, Scott Gramling, is with us. We sent him our picks before the show today, and he replied to Jim with a whoa. And I asked if it was a good whoa or a bad whoa, and it seems to be a bad whoa.
Seems to be a bad whoa. But I mean, this song started to get on my nerves. Like, you hear it enough, but I remember when my kids were really little, you just play this in one room and just turn it up, and they all freak out running into each other. You should try that with your kids one day.
No, they already do that without the music. Thank you.
just like, oh, nuts.
Scotty, what do you think? Before revealing our picks, what do you make of us today? You think we suck?
I'm gonna stay open-minded. I want to hear what you have to say, went into picking these. I don't know if you've
I was actually going to pick his guy, and I took somebody else.
Yeah, I think Zoe has a good pick. And I think what we're doing here, Scott, is we're taking a lot of risk. We're going for one of those, like, perfect lineup type of weekends where you take a lot of risk and you hope for the best, and maybe you end up getting really lucky and really rich.
All right. Well, that's good. I mean, I choked on my croissant when I got those from Jim, but we'll you guys explain yourself.
What man eats a croissant?
It's going to be hard to stack anybody with Zoe's quarterback. But his quarterback costs $5,500 in DraftKings. Who is it, Zoe?
It's Josh Allen. Coming off the injury, starting to do some of the things that he did earlier in the year, and that means picking up plays with his legs. I like the combination of the passing yards with the legs, and they're going to be down in games, which means he's going to put up some stats. So I'm going with Josh Allen.
All right.
He loves it.
You know what? Okay. I don't play fantasy football, so I got to pick one guy a week, and I got you, David, Josh Allen. Now do something with it.
Yeah, I have to be honest. So you've made some good picks this year, and could turn out to be a good pick. This is
we're gonna make money.
I think it's a tough spot. They cut Kelvin Benjamin, which might not be a bad thing, and
they got rid of
Andre Holmes. It is, but I don't know who he's going to throw the ball to. Look, we could get 150 rushing yards out of him again. I think it'd be insane if they keep running him because they're not playing for anything and they're only risking injury. But it is the Jets. They do like to stick it to the Jets. And look, we'll roll it out there and we'll see. I was not able to stack anybody with him, but that's okay. Maybe that's good.
His average has been what, over like 30 points a week over the last couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
For Josh Allen, he's been good the last few weeks since coming back from injury.
He has. He absolutely has. There's a significant amount of risk there, but you're right. Mm. Let's go for broke here.
Yeah, we fully admit we're going for broke, and this is a huge, risky lineup. Mine is Tariq Cohen of the Bears, who are at home, taking on the high-powered, high-flying L.A. Rams. My theory on this, and by the way, not only is he a runner, but he's a guy who catches passes and has done a lot of that, a lot of volume, a lot of targets recently. My theory is they're going to be chasing. They're going to be playing from behind in this game. I think Tariq Cohen could be a beneficiary of that.
It could be. It's an okay pick. It's sort of right down the middle. It's, you know, he's 10th highest priced guy, and I think he's just outside the top 10. I mean, you look at that Rams linebacking core, right? I mean, they got Mark Barron there. He's a converted safety. When you look at the numbers, there's only six teams that have allowed fewer than 400 yards receiving to opposing running backs this year. The Rams are one of those six teams. So, it's an okay pick. I don't think there's great value there with Cohen at 6,400. But, that certainly could pan out. I'm not convinced that the Rams are going to get up a lot in this game. I think the Bears defense is going to keep this one close. But we'll see what happens. Again, it does have upside. He did get a lot of receiving yards playing from behind against the Giants. But that Giants defense, the linebackers are a lot slower and don't cover as well as the Rams linebackers.
Sounds like you're picking the Bears in your gambling podcast. That's what it sounds like.
I am taking the Bears, I do have to say.
Oh.
I like the spot. I like the spot for Chicago.
All right. But, what else you got in this lineup?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Aaron Jones here against the Falcons defense. Everybody's running on the Falcons. He's 7,200. I think there's a little value there, not a ton. But one thing you guys did do, you saved me some money here. So have to spend it. That's where I'm going to go. At the wide receiver position, Mike Evans going against the Saints. Evans coming off a down game last week. Before that, he had two straight 100-yard games. DeSean Jackson is now out. I think Evans is going to be targeted a lot. And he did put up close to 150 yards in that season opener against the Saints. Cortland Sutton is now the number one guy in Denver, with Emmanuel Sanders being out for the year. Going against that San Francisco defense, San Francisco just seems to have given up. They have no pass rush whatsoever. I feel like this could be a good game for Sutton. Amari Cooper still is offering value, and that Eagles secondary continues to be banged up. We didn't see it on Monday night because the Redskins, with Mark Sanchez, came and say it with a straight face, had just weren't able to take advantage of that Eagles secondary. I think the Cowboys will to a degree, and I think at 6,600, he is value there. One thing I think we have learned as we've gone along this season is we can't throw a dart at the tight end position. We have to go with one of the top tight ends. I'm going with Zach Ertz this week. He lit the Cowboys up earlier this year. He had the 14 catches, and we actually had him this week. We had him that week against the Cowboys. We're taking him again. He's done a lot of damage against the Cowboys in recent years. I'm going with Samuels, the running back, who I think is going to be the bulk of the carries for the Steelers with Connor out. They're going against the Raiders at 3,700. I think he's the best value on the board. That left us with 2,200, and I went with the Browns D going against Carolina. Can't say I love the pick, but only at 2,200 with how Carolina has been struggling recently, and that game is on the road. I figure, maybe get a couple turnovers at that one.
Yeah, I think the Ertz pick's a really bad one because I think the Dallas Cowboy linebackers can run. I think they can handle him. I think that defense has changed since the last time they played. So if you want to read.
It's a fair pick. A fair pick. It's just so lean at tight end. And Kelsey going against the Ravens was more expensive than Ertz. And then you just kind of look down the docket there, and there's just nobody to take. And I feel like they just force feed the ball so much to Ertz. And I know that Vander Esch can cover. But I just like the fact that Wentz and Ertz, they're forcing the ball. And I think if he's targeted 12, 13 times, he gets you the 7 or 8 catches. And that's enough to give you value. We just can't keep putting up these Cameron Brate. You know, I had Brate last week. It was awful. You know, just catching the 3 passes, or Vance McDonald, 3 passes, 27 yards. We just have to start avoiding that.
Hey, we were just talking off the air that Jalen Samuels, in some leagues, depending on your year-long stuff, he might be eligible as a tight end.
Yeah, Yahoo has him as a tight end. And I think that stems from when he was playing sort of that H-back position at NC State. I think they never changed it when he went to the pros. Boy, can you imagine if, like, you've gone, had a one-loss season in fantasy, now you're going into the playoffs, and you had somebody sneak into the playoffs, and they're putting Jalen Samuels, a starting running back, at their tight end slot?
Oh, that's such a ridiculous advantage.
It would be absolutely infuriating, but that's the way it goes. You know, once upon a time, when Marcus Colston was a rookie, he was a tight end in Yahoo as well. And I think they just did it based on his size. I think they just looked, oh, he's big. He must be a tight end.
Wow.
So, not the first time it's happened, but it is pretty bogus.
All right, so here's our lineup again. Josh Allen, Tariq Cohen, Aaron Jones, Cortland Sutton, Mike Evans, Amari Cooper, Zach Ertz, Jalen Samuels, and the Browns defense. That will leave you with $0 in your cap in DraftKings. That's how we base it spending-wise, and that is the weekly lineup. Appreciate your time, Scott, even if you think our picks stink this week.
Nah, hey, look, you know what? Stranger things have happened. I think maybe we'll pull a rabbit out of the hat here.
All right, Scott.
Hey, watch him rabbit comments. You offend people. See you, pal.
All right.
Thanks a lot, pal.
Beat a dead horse, but, you know.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.